Good evening, everyone. I have good news and bad news, depending on your perspective. Tonight's topic is probably the most confusing that we've done yet. So tonight we're going to talk about Not Bar Not. Not Bar Not stands for No Sin Tam Bar No Sin Tam. So one of the very practical questions we'll be considering tonight is, if I cooked noodles in a meat pot, can I use those and put cheese on those noodles? Many other variations. So first, a little hakdama. So these are points that we might have mentioned in passing so far, but you'll need to know them for tonight's question. Number one is the basic idea of tam ke'ikr, which we've discussed already. Tam ke'ikr means that if the taste of a food is imparted into another food, so the food has the status of the taste that has been imparted into it. So, for example, if you cook a potato in chalent, so the chalent has meat, the taste of meat will enter the potato, and therefore you have to treat the potato as fleishix. Not only is that true with respect to foods, but it could also happen via kalim. So, for example, if I cook meat in a pot, then little tam particles are absorbed into the pot. And then if in that same pot I cook potatoes, so those potatoes now have little meat particles within them. That's presumably the halacha. And that's why, for example, you need kosher kalim. Why is it that I can't use non-kosher kalim? Because if I use non-kosher kalim, so the non-Jew cooked ham in this pot, little ham particles entered the walls of the pot, and now when I cook my potatoes, those little ham particles enter the potatoes. That's the idea of tam ke'ikr. One exception to that rule of tam ke'ikr is if it's eino ben yomo. Eino ben yomo means if the pot has not been used for 24 hours. Let's say the non-Jew cooked ham in this pot 36 hours ago. So we assume that the tam particles that were absorbed in the walls of the pot that are secreted into the potato are no sin tam lefgam. That means the taste that they impart is lousy taste. They're spoiled blios. They don't taste good anymore. And instead of making the potato taste better, the potato tastes worse, and therefore the potato would not become aser. Now, l'chatchila, you're not allowed to do that, but b'diavad, if you did it, if you cooked potatoes in a non-kosher pot that hasn't been used for 24 hours, the potatoes are kosher. Okay, those are just two pieces of information that you should know as a hakdama. Now we'll start not bar not. So the Gemara in Chulin says the following. Dagim she'alu b'ka'ara shel basar. Let's say I roasted fish on let's start the other case. Let's say I put a piece of fish, hot roasted fish, right out of the oven or right out of the pot onto a fleishig plate. So Rav Amar Aser La'achlan B'Kutach. You may not eat that fish with cheese. Kutach is like a sour cream type dish they had. So by putting the fish onto the fleishig plate, the fish became fleishig. And now I can't have that fish with milchix. Ushmuel Amar, Mutar La'achlan B'Kutach. Shmuel says you can eat them with cheese. Why? Because it's not bar not. What does not bar not stand for? No sin tam bar no sin tam. What does that mean? The taste is twice removed from the source. Why? How so? Because it was meat to plate. So we'll call the plate tam rishon. The plate absorbed the taste of meat. Let's say just an hour before I had a piece of hot roast beef on this plate. So the plate is what's called a tam rishon shel basar. So meat to plate and plate to fish. So the fish we're going to call tam sheni shel basar, secondary infusion of taste. It's not bar not, no sin tam bar no sin tam. And if the fish is only no sin tam bar no sin tam, then it is permitted to eat with milchix. So who do we paskin like? We paskin like Shmuel, that not bar not is mutter. So you're allowed to have that fish with your sour cream. Now, why is this? So here we have to ask a basic question. Can you taste the taste of meat in this fish. If you can't, so then, of course, you could have the fish with kutach, right? Because if there's no actual taste, if you can't taste the taste of meat in the fish, then the fish is parif. Even if theoretically, you cooked potatoes in the same pot as meat, they were tam rishon. But if you couldn't taste the taste of meat in the potatoes, they would be parif still. So then presumably, we must be talking about a case where there is the taste of meat in this fish. Otherwise, Rav would never assel it. But then I have another question. If I could taste meat in this fish, then why would Shmuel say it's mutter? After all, I have this piece of fish. This fish tastes like meat. We have the principle of Tam K'Iker, which says that if I could taste meat in my fish or taste meat in my potatoes are treated as fleishiks. So I have this piece of fish that tastes like meat, and I could still eat it with a kutach. How could that be? So this is a big debate. The Ran and the Ritva and other Rishonim say, yes, Shmuel says it's permitted. Even though these fish taste like meat, you could still have it with kutach. Why? Why would that be? So it's not clear. And we're going to give two reasons for it in just a couple of moments. But the way the Ritva says it is like this. He says it's just like Reach. What does Reach mean? So we haven't had a chance to study the laws of Reach yet. The problem with studying these halachos is that everything is dependent on everything else. But you can't do everything at once. So Reach is the halacha that, let's say I cook in the same oven something meat with something parif. I cook meat with potatoes. Then, strictly speaking, those potatoes don't become fleishiks. We're machmir l'chatchila, but mikar adin, those fleishiks aren't. Now, that's not zeya, it's recha. We'll talk about the difference when we get there. But I cook the potatoes with the meat, the potatoes are parif. And that halacha is true, even if somehow or another, the potatoes taste like meat. Why? Because we paskin recha lav milsehi. Recha is not a halachically significant thing. It doesn't have the status of tam. So apparently what comes out then is a fascinating idea, that even though we say tam ke'ikar, not every case of tam is ke'ikar. Even though we say that if something tastes fleishiks, it is fleishiks, that's not always true. It's sometimes true. Well, when yes, and when no. Why is it that sometimes when something tastes fleishiks, we say it is fleishiks, like tam rishon? And sometimes when something tastes fleishiks, it's not fleishiks, like not bar not. What's the difference? So the way the Ramban says it is the following. He says, when the Torah said tam ki'ikar, it said tam rishon is ki'ikar. That's the chiddush of the Torah. But not bar not, the Torah never said it. So it doesn't matter that you taste fleishiks, right? Theoretically, according to this view, if you cooked your noodles in a fleishig pot. Now again, don't yet get to the halach lamaisa, we'll talk about it. But according to this view, if you cooked your noodles in a fleishig pot, clean fleishig pot. So the noodles are what? Are they tam rishon? No, the pot's tam rishon, noodles are tam sheni. You taste the noodle. I taste the roast beef. I could put cheese on it. Imagine that. That's what the halacha is. Because the Torah only said tam rishon is ke'ikar, and not bar not. That's the view of the Ramban. Now, the Maharshal, the Amshlo Shlomo, says, give me a break. How is that possible? Something tastes fleishiks and we treat it as parif? What happened to the rule of Tom Kicker? Tom Kicker says if it tastes fleishiks, it is fleishiks. So the Marshal says, really, when we say not bar not is mutter, that means only if you can't taste the fleishiks. Well, if you can't taste the fleishiks, then why would Rav say it's a problem? The answer is, and why do we need the Chiddush of Shmuel if not bar not? The answer is that not bar not means we could presume it's parif. If it's already two or three steps removed from the source, we'll assume you can't taste the taste anymore. Then therefore, you could go ahead and put cheese on those noodles. Why? Because probably you can't taste the meat. Because usually meat taste doesn't go that far. But if it did, if you went ahead and you tasted the noodles, even though they're not Barnat, and the noodles tasted fleishig, of course you couldn't put cheese on it. So again, we have a debate. The Gemara says, we paskin not Barnat is okay. If it's not Barnat of meat, you could have it together with milk. Why is that? According to some Rishonim, we're going to see this is probably the way we paskin. Most opinions hold that even if theoretically you could taste the fleishig taste, and that's the chiddush of not Barnat. But according to the Marshal, it's only if you can't taste it. What's the chiddush? The chiddush is you don't assume it's there. Okay. There are a number of rayos back and forth. Who's right? There's a story in the Gemara that Rav, the story of Shaifa, sounds like the Marshal. How will the Ran and the Ritva answer that question? They have answers. Back and forth, back and forth. But Lamaisa, most poskim assume, Lahaka, most poskim assume that the chiddush of not Barnat is true, even if you could taste the taste. So why is it? So we gave one explanation so far. The explanation we gave is that the Torah never ossered this type of tam. It's just like reyach, right? Just like reyach, just like the Torah never ossered tam that comes through reyach, so too the Torah never ossered tam that comes through not Barnat. And that's the view of the Ramban. Now the Ramban says it in an interesting way. He says that it's mutter because it's tam shlishi. It's not actually tam sheni, but tam shlishi. What does that mean? It means if you go from plate, the plate we said was tam rishon, to fish, so the fish is tam sheni, and then the kutach is tam shlishi. So for it to be mutter, you need tam shlishi. Now you'll ask a question, well, one second, but the fish absorbs the kutach. So I understand the kutach will be mutter, because that's tam shlishi, right? Meat to plate, plate to fish, fish to cheese. Cheese is to tam shlishi, but what about the fish? So the Ramban has an answer to that question, which is very complicated. So we're not going to do it now, but we're going to quote another answer to this question. And this is the mainstream view as to why not Barnat works. And this is what we'll have to remember. The reason why not Barnat works is the following. It's not that we require tam shlishi. Rather, what we require is tam sheni shel heter. What does tam sheni shel heter mean? It's tam sheni and still it's mutter. What that means is the following. When is not Barnat okay? It's only if it's tam sheni. So like our example, meat to plate. So plate is tam rishon. Plate to fish is tam sheni. Vadayin heter hu. So that's why, for example, if it's not kosher, we don't say not Barnat. The whole heter of not Barnat is only not Barnat de hetera. Otherwise, maybe you would say you could cook in non-kosher kalim, right? No. We only say not Barnat if it's still mutter when it gets to the tam sheni. That's why, for example, you can't put something dairy on a fleishig plate. Why? If I put something dairy on the fleishig plate, even if I don't care about the plate, it's tam sheni shel iser. Let's say again, I have a fleishig plate, and I put a piece of hot cheese on it. Why is that usser? Because meat to plate, so the plate's tam rishon, plate to cheese, that's tam sheni shel iser. For the rule of not Barnat to work, it needs to get to tam sheni and still be mutter. If it gets to tam sheni and it's still mutter, then it's okay. So if it gets to tam sheni, like meat to plate, plate to fish, it's tam sheni shel heter, now I could take that fish and put kutach on it. Now why is this? So the way the Rashba explains is as follows. Rashba says, very interesting idea. When we're talking about basar b'chalav, so it's not just that we're talking about the tam of meat. Because basar b'chalav, both ingredients are heter. Basar's heter, chalav's heter. It's only when they get mixed and merged that an iser is created, right? Only when they're mixed that you have basar b'chalav. So here's the way it works. You need to create an iser, you need a stark tam, strong taste. A strong taste of meat plus a strong taste of milk, they're mixed together, and you create this new entity called basar b'chalav. But a weakened taste doesn't have the strength to create a new isser. So if it's Tom Shaney and it's still mutter, that Tom is weak. And it doesn't have the strength when mixed with milk to create the isser of basar b'chalav. So when I have meat to plate, plate to fish, so the fish is Tom Shaney and it's still mutter, the fleshig tom in that fish is a weak tom. It's not sufficiently strong to create a new isser when mixed with milk. So that's why this whole idea doesn't apply when we're dealing with isser. Because when we're dealing with isser, we're not talking about the creation of the new isser. We're simply talking about the transfer of an old isser. If it's ham to plate, plate to potato, so there's no isser that's new that needs to be created. It's simply going from the ham to the plate, from the plate to the potato, from the potato to the next thing, from the next thing to the next thing. It doesn't matter how far removed it is. As long as it's still discernible, it's usser. Because we're not talking about the creation of a new isser. To create a new isser, you need something strong. The Torah said basar when mixed with chalav can create a new isser. And even tam basar when mixed with chalav could create a new isser. But not barnadav basar when mixed with chalav lacks the strength to create a new isser. So that's why the heter of not barnat only works when we're dealing with chalav, when we're dealing with basar b'chalav, or heter b'heter. Maybe if you have other cases of heter b'heter, there's what to talk about, but those aren't so relevant. It's relevant in kudshim, maybe. We could talk about whether chametz is a terah bala or the like. But the normal application of not barnat is only true with respect to basar b'chalav. So let's review the bottom line, what we have so far, and then we'll get to the next stage. I'll take your questions in a minute. So again, what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says that if I put pariv fish on a fleshig plate, so that pariv fish is tam sheni shel heter, and tam sheni shel heter lacks the power to create the isser of basar b'chalav, and therefore I'm allowed to take that fish and eat it with cheese. Right? Or, for example, if I cook noodles in a pot and I put those noodles in a meat bowl, and then after I'm done eating them in the meat bowl, there's some leftovers, and I want to eat those noodles that are still clean with cheese, I may do so. That's the case of the Gemara. That's what we've said so far. Yeah. No, you don't have a question. Okay, we'll leave out chametz for now. Chametz is very interesting. Maybe we'll talk about chametz when we talk about hechsher kelim. Okay, yeah. No, not is a roshei tevos. It's an acronym. Not stands for no Saint Tom. Bar is the Aramaic for the son of for the son, like Ben. So no Saint Tom, the son of no Saint Tom. What that means is it's not the tam, so it's not the meat, but it's two steps removed. So in our case, it's meat to plate. So the plate is what we call tam rishon, no sin tam. Plate to fish, that's tam sheni. Still mutter, tam sheni shel heter, can be eaten with chalav. Yeah, if it's not hot, then there's nothing to talk about. If it was cold, for example, you could, technically speaking, we'll talk about why we recommend not doing this, but technically speaking, if you had, at least on a temporary basis, you could eat cold meat on a milking plate. So we're talking here even when everything is hot as can be. Yeah. Correct. That's absolutely correct. We'll talk about that. That's one of the... Just 2 minutes, we'll get there. Whether you should do this l'chatchila. Okay. There is a... Just... another variation of the Rashba, which is Tosfos, which is Tam Sheni Shel Heter is Batel, as opposed to just not being able to create a new Isser. And there's some interesting nafkaminas, but we'll get back to that later. So the case of the Gemara is as follows. The case of the Gemara is that you didn't cook the fish in a fleshig pot. Rather, you put the fish, let's say the fish was cooked on a parev pot, on a fleshig plate. What about if you actually cooked the fish in a fleshig pot? Or you roasted the fish on a fleshig pan? Would we say in that case, not barnat? Would we say it's still tam sheni shel heter? Pot, meat to pot is tam rishon, pot to fish is tam sheni, and it's mutter. Or maybe when you cook or when you roast, it's different. So this is a machlokas harishonim, and there's actually three opinions. The opinion of the Ravan reported this in the name of his grandfather Rashi, though there's evidence that Rashi might not have actually held this. He said, we don't say not barnat when it comes to bishul and tzli. What does that mean? Why not? So, the Rush implies that when it comes to bishul, when it comes to bishul, there's no weakening of the flavor when it goes from the pot to the food that's cooked in it. It doesn't go down a level. When you cook the potatoes in a fleshig pot, when you cook the noodles in a fleshig pot, we don't say, well, the pot is tam rishon and the noodles are tam sheni. No, we see the noodles as still being tam rishon. It doesn't go down the level. Why not? The way the Rush puts it is ba'alu deleka elablia mu'etes de kedei klipa aval binis bashlo shenivla kol tam habasar yesh lesser af not barnat. What that means is the following. Again, these are rules that we'll get back to maybe next week. But if I go ahead and I have a fleshig pot and I cook potatoes in that fleshig pot, I assume that the fleshig tam was infused throughout the potato. But if I take a hot potato and put it on a fleshig plate, then I assume that the potato only became fleshig on the outside layer, what we call kedei klipa, the outer layer. But it doesn't get infused throughout. Now, probably what that means is that we see that there's a significant weakening of the flavor of the taste when it goes from the plate to the food put on the plate. And even though we said that maybe you could still taste it, but it's tasting something that's weaker. But when you roast it, roasting it also doesn't necessarily spread throughout, but it's at least a kedei netila. When you roast something on a fleshig pot, or you cook something in a fleshig pot, then the tam of the meat get spread throughout the object cooked or roasted within it, and therefore the taste does not weaken. In other words, the basic idea of not barnat is that when you go from tam rishon to tam sheni, there's a weakening of the flavor, and therefore we assume that there's only a weakening if it's a weak transfer. So if you put a hot potato on a cold plate, that's a weak transfer. If you cook a potato in a fleshig pot, that's a strong transfer. There's a weakening in a weak transfer. There's not a weakening in a strong transfer. How do you define weak or strong? So probably what it means is if a fire is involved, then we assume it's a strong transfer. If there's no fire involved, then it's just a weak transfer. This might relate to the difference between bishul and blios, which we'll talk about next week. So basically, what this view, the view of the Ravan is that the only time we have the heter of not barnat is like the case of the Gemara, where you have something hot, fleshik, put on a cold plate. There's an interesting question whether if it was a hot plate and hot fleshik, but not on a fire, what would be the halacha? There's a debate what the Ravan would say about that. But we'll take the classical case. The only time we say, according to this, not barnat, is when it's hot food onto a cold plate. So then, since the transfer from the plate into the food is a weak transfer, so under such circumstances, we say that it goes down a level. It goes from tam rishon to tam sheni, and that's when the heter of not bar not applies. That is the view of the Ravan. Not yet. Yeah. Going back to what we said, what? There's another question you have, which is, what happened to sakana? That's what you're asking? We know there's a sakana to having meat together with fish. So for some reason, we're not concerned. The poskim have various theories why it is that we're not concerned. Usually we say, chamira sakanta yoser meisura. So there are different answers to this question. One answer is that we only are concerned with meat getting mixed with fish when it's actual meat with actual fish. But if it's just tam, then there is no concern. That's why most people will cook fish in a fleishig pot, right? Or eat fish with fleishig silverware, even if it's hot. Many people, though, are still machmir, and they have to come up with different answers to that question. So there are different answers to that question, why there's no concern. But maybe it's still not barnat. Still not barnat. And even though it seems like it's iser, note that since we say that tam sheni shel heter is batel because it's so weak, so too it's so weak that it doesn't make the fish dangerous. Okay. Now, opinion number two. So again, opinion number one was the Ravan. The Ravan said that the whole heter of not bar not is only alu. It's only when the fish goes on a fleishig plate, or the parv noodles go on a fleishig plate or a fleishig bowl. But if you cook noodles in a fleishig pot, then those noodles are fully fleishig. You may not put cheese on those noodles, right? That's opinion number one, Ravan. Opinion number two is the Ramban, the Rashba, and others, Tosfos, the Ran. We'll call it the view of the Ramban for now. Opinion number two is the opinion of the Ramban. He says it's mutter. There's no difference between cooking and just putting it on a fleishig plate. So according to the Ramban, why? As long as it goes down a level, as long as it's not tam rishon, but it's tam sheni, Ramban would say tam shlishi, the Rashba would say tam sheni shel heter. Doesn't really matter for our purposes. So according to this lenient view, opinion number two, according to opinion Ramban, if you went ahead and you cooked noodles in a fleishig pot, even ben yomo, you could eat those noodles with cheese. No problem. That's opinion number two. I'm sorry? That is, as long as it's a secondary infusion of taste and still permissible, so it's not barnat, meaning to say meat to pot, so the pot, assuming it's clean, there's no actually meat left, so pot is tam rishon. Then when it goes from the pot to the noodles, it's tam sheni. The noodles are tam sheni. The noodles are not barnat. It's still mutter, right? No cheese yet. So not barnat is mutter, and you could put cheese on those noodles. Not in the pot, pot's fleishig. Take the noodles out of the pot, put them on your milchik plate, put cheese on them, no problem. That's the view of Ramban, Rashba, Tosfos, and others. Now, how do we paskin? There's a third view in a moment, which we'll get to, but I'll just tell you how we paskin first. Lahalacha, the mechaber seems to be mako. Okay, so that means Sfardim seemingly could go ahead and take noodles cooked in a fleishig pot and put cheese on them. But the Rama is machmir lechatchila and mako b'diavad. What does that mean? Lechatchila, if you have noodles cooked in a fleishig pot, assuming the pot's ben yomo, we'll talk about eino ben yomo in a minute, but assuming you use this pot to cook fleishigs within 24 hours, and then you use this pot to cook noodles, you should not put cheese on those noodles. No, no, no. But let's say you did. You forgot that these noodles were cooked in a fleishig pot, and you went ahead and you put cheese on them, you could eat the noodles with cheese. L'chatchila, we're machmir. B'diavad, we are mako. That is the psak of the Rama. There is a third view. The third view says that if it's tzli, then you can't do it, but if it's bishul, you can. What's the difference? Not so clear. Apparently, the infusion of taste in tzli is stronger than bishul. So if you roasted fish on a fleishig pot, you can't have those fish with cheese. But if you cooked fish in a fleishig pot, then you could. The Marshal thinks we should be choshish for that view, and therefore even bidiyaved, if you cooked fish in a fleishig pot and then you put cheese on it, it should be asur. But I think we are makel. And we are makel that bidiyaved, both by bishul and by tzli, it's going to be mutter. There's an interesting... Now, what's the reason? Probably the reason for the machmirim is because when you cook, it goes through the medium of water. In other words, it really is pot to water, water to potato. And then the potatoes, the taste of the potato is seen as weaker. And therefore you could put cheese on those potatoes. What would be if it's like rice? Poskim discuss. Because rice has a lot of water at the beginning, but then at the end, the rice sort of fills the whole pot, so it might go straight from the pot into the rice. It's a shiloh. Interesting question. So again, opinion number three is that if it's roasted, then we don't say not bar not. If it's cooked, we do say not bar not. Halach lemaisa, as I said, we paskin that lechatchila, we meaning Ashkenazim, again, Sfardim are more makel here, Ashkenazim paskin that if it's not bar not in bishul, or tzli, Aser lechatchila, mutter b'diavad. Now, there are a bunch of interesting kulos we haven't gotten up to yet. So I'll take some questions, but we're not done yet. Yeah. I think we could say the Mechaber is Mekel. Let's say the Mechaber is Mekel. We'll that we haven't discussed yet. Are you allowed to? That's going to be in 2 minutes. We're going to say if you're Mekel for not bar not. For Sfardim, that means to cook it in a fleishig pot, or the Ashkenazim to put it on a fleishig plate. Does that mean you could intentionally cook it in a fleishig pot to eat with cheese? Or does that mean if you already cooked the noodles in a fleishig pot, now lechatchila you could put cheese on it? We're going to get to that question in just a moment. But if you, according to the Sfardim, if you already cooked the noodles in a fleishig pot, because you were going to eat them with fleishigs or pariv, and then you have leftovers, or you changed your mind, and now you want to have them with cheese, that's okay. No. No, I would think not. If you made it already and an Ashkenazi shows up, so then that would be okay, I would think. But if you're making it to serve to Ashkenazim, I would think it's better not to. I hear that studim, but I would think it's better not to. It's a good question, because you're saying anyway it's bidiyavid okay for Ashkenazim, and it's lechatchila okay for you. So for your guests, it's bidiyavid, right? Or do you say no? Since I'm making it for the intention of them to eat, that's like lechatchila, right? So here the suffix. It's a good shayla. I'm not sure. I think about it a little more. But my gut reaction is that if you're making it with the intention to give to Ashkenazim, you should be machmir. But if you made it with the intention for yourself, and then Ashkenazi shows up, so that would be okay. But I'm not sure. This means, by the way, that Sfardim, there's not much point or not much need to have pariv pots. Because everything that you cook pariv in a fleishig pot is basically pariv. The only question is still going to be, should you do it lechatchila? And also davar charif, we'll get to that. So still it might be helpful to have fleishig pariv pots even if you're Sfardim. But less necessary than even if you're Ashkenazi. Even Ashkenazim don't really need them, as we'll get to soon. like my grandparents' generation, they thought this whole idea of pots for Ashkenazim was like a funny idea. Anyway, okay. So, yes. We're going to talk about that. We're going to get there maybe even right now. No, got there in two steps. Okay, so next step. So the next question is, are you allowed to do this lechatzchila? And there's really, we'll see, it's a little complicated, three levels of lechatzchila here. Level one is, can I cook things in a fleishig pot with intention to put cheese on them? Or put par of things on a fleishig plate with the intention to put cheese on it? And then the second question is, if I did it already, can I lechatchila put cheese onto it? So let's address these two questions. So the first question is, should you rely on not barnat lechatchila in the first place? So if, now I'm going to talk about Ashkenazim now, first. You should never, like we already said, you should never cook something in a fleishig pot in order to put cheese on it. Why? That's aser for two reasons. Number one is we paskin, you shouldn't create a situation of not barnat lechatchila, right? And second of all, because we said lechatchila, we're choshish for the Ravan, not to rely on not barnat when it comes to bishul or tzli. So I definitely cannot cook noodles in a fleishig pot with the intention to eat them with cheese. What about putting noodles on a fleishig plate with the intention to put it with cheese? So there too we're machmir. We say, lechatchila, you shouldn't create a situation of not barnat, right? So if I'm planning to eat these noodles with cheese, don't put them in a fleishig pot and don't put them in a fleishig plate. What about if I did it already? I went ahead and I put noodles on a fleishig plate, but I haven't yet put cheese on it. So do we say that at that point I could put cheese on it? The answer is probably. The answer is probably that at that point you can, because we'll say yes. We'll throw in a monkey wrench in a minute, but now we'll say yes. No problem. If you went ahead and you already put the par of noodles on a fleishig plate, not because you were planning to eat it with milchus, you were planning to eat these noodles as parv, and then you had some leftovers and you want to eat them with milchus, no problem. No problem. And likewise for Sfardim. Sfardim might even be more makel. There's a debate what the Mechaber's view is here. But certainly the Sfardim would agree that if you already cooked your noodles in a fleishig pot, because you were intending to eat them with parif or fleishigs, and now you have leftovers and you want to eat them with milchigs, then it might be okay. What about, according to Sfardim, could you actually cook the noodles in a fleishig pot with the intention to put cheese on them? That's a debate, whether the Mechaber was makel in that case or machmir in that case. The Shach thinks that the Mechaber was machmir in that case. In the Yalkut Yosef, he thinks maybe the Mechaber would even be Mekel in that case. And he's Nota Lahakel. He thinks it's a Suffolk and Dirabanans, you could be Mekel. So, Sfardim on the Shaila are very Mekel. So again, Halacha L'maisa, for Ashkenazim, if you went ahead and you cooked noodles in a parif pot, you put them in a fleishig plate, and then you change your mind and you want to eat them with milchiks, okay. But if you're planning to later eat these noodles with milchiks, you shouldn't put them on a fleishig plate or a fleishig bowl. Okay. Now, what about, there's an interesting question, I'll just tell you parenthetically, why is it? If it's mutter to do it, in other words, if you've done it already, it's mutter, why shouldn't it be mutter to do it lechatchila? So the Prima Gadim thinks it's similar to bittel iser lechatchila. That just like we don't, bittel works, but yeah, but not barnat is similar to bittel, at least that's what Tosos thinks, and therefore to create the situation lechatchila is wrong. And he goes so far as to say, and therefore, if you did it lechatchila, b'mezid, it's aser b'diavad. Because just like we say you're not allowed to be mevatel iser l'chatchila, and not only that, but if you were mevatel iser l'chatchila, it's aser b'diavad. So too here. The Pri Chadash says, no, that's not true. The reason why you shouldn't do it l'chatchila is just a harchaka b'alma. That's the way we paskin. So we try to stay away from this. Okay. So, now we have another very big potential kula. That's the question you asked. What about if it's Eino Ben Yom? Right? What about if it's Eino Ben Yom? What does that mean? Let's say I have a fleshig pot that I haven't used for 24 hours. Am I allowed, and I cook noodles in that pot? Am I allowed to put cheese on those noodles? Right? I have a pot that I haven't used for 24 hours for fleshig. I might have even used it for pot. But a fleshig pot that I haven't cooked meat in it for 24 hours. And halacha actually is that we assume stam kalim einam b'nei yomam, which means if I'm not even sure, I assume it hasn't been used for fleshig for 24 hours. So I have a pot, fleshig pot, I haven't used it for 24 hours, and I cook noodles in it. May I put cheese on those noodles? So here we are mekel. Why? Why are we mekel? The reason is because, well, there's actually a debate here as well. There's a debate. One way to understand this is that we're only choshesh for the rivan up to a certain point. Remember, the rivan was the one who said that we don't say not bar not for bishul. And we saw Tosos and the Rashman and Ramban all say, we do say not bar not bar bishul, right? So when it's ben yomo, we're machmir for the rivan. When it's not ben yomo, we're mekel like the Rashba, Tosos, Ramban. So according to that view, as long as your pot's eino ben yomo, it's okay. The Gra gives a different reason. He says, that's the reason given, for example, by the Taz. The Gra says the reason is, v'af b'kedera, ein eser l'chatchila she'enu ben yomo, ala mishum gzeira atu ben yomo. Ma'ashein ken kan de'af ben yomo moter medina. Very interesting chat. He says, why are we generally machmir for eino ben yomo? I shouldn't use a, let's say, a treif pot that hasn't been used for 24 hours, because we're concerned eino ben yomo atu ben yomo. If it was used within 24 hours, the food would be asar. So we're machmir even if we say you shouldn't l'chatchila used it, if it hasn't been used for 24 hours. But here, even if it was used within 24 hours, would it be asar b'diavad? No, because remember we said b'diavad, we said even by bishul, we say not bar not. So since b'diavad it would be mutter, so we're not gozer eino, we're not gozer eino ben yomo, atu ben yomo, if ben yomo is only asar l'chatchila, mutter b'diavad. Okay, those two reasons are a little complicated. Don't worry if you didn't get them. The bottom line is that if your pot has not been used, your fleshig pot, obviously everything goes the same, halachos both directions. If your fleshig pot has not been used for 24 hours for fleshigs, for meat, I haven't used the pot at all for 24 hours, or I used the pot for pariv, but not for fleshigs. I have a fleshig pot, I haven't used it for 24 hours, or I'm not sure if I used it for 24 hours, and I cook noodles in those pot, in that pot, you know what I could do? I could put cheese on those noodles. Wow. Intentionally. Now, l'chatchila, once they're cooked. That's the next level. We're going to get there. So there's no doubt, this is clear. Your question, Shuli, is a question. But first, let's say what's clear. What's clear is, let's get it clear. All right, if you cook, you have a fleshig pot. You haven't used it for fleshigs for 24 hours. And you cook noodles in those pot, in that pot. And then you decide you want to have cheese on those noodles, you can put cheese on it. No problem. What about your question? I want to have macaroni with cheese on it. So can I use a fleshig pot to cook those noodles that hasn't been used for 24 hours? So this is a debate. The Gra says yes, because not bar not is mutter, even for bishul, if it's eino ben yomo. So I could go ahead and cook noodles in a fellaischik pot to put cheese on them. As long as the pot hasn't been used for 24 hours. This is what I told you before. Even Ashkenazim don't need parv pots. As long as you have a pot that hasn't been used for fellaischiks for 24 hours, if you basically cook noodles in that pot, the noodles are parv. That's the view of the Gra. And they're mekilim like the Gra. However, the Chachmas Adam is machmir. Chachmas Adam says no. Chachmas Adam, that's the same as the Chai Adam. His Sefer on Yoredei is called Chachmas Adam. On Yorachayim is called Chai Adam. Chachmas Adam says no. If you want to go ahead and have noodles with cheese, you should cook your noodles in a milchik pot or in a parv pot. If you cook them already in a fleishik pot, then l'chatchila you could put cheese on it, assuming the fleishik pot hasn't been used for 24 hours. But you shouldn't cook them l'chatchila in a fleishik pot, even eino ben yomo, in order to put cheese on them. So how do we paskin? Do we paskin like the Gra, or do we paskin like the Chachmas Adam? So there are different minhagim. And if your family's minhag is to be mekel, you could be mekel. But if you don't have a family minhag, I think most people are machmir on the shaila, like the Chachmas Adam. Rabbi Willig is a diak from the Isser V'Heter, like the Chachmas Adam. I think most people are machmir. So if you want to have macaroni with cheese, use a parv pot, use a milchik pot. But if you made the noodles in a fleishik pot already, and the fleishik pot's in a ben yomo, put cheese on it. No problem. That's l'chatchila. Now, even the Chachmas Adam who's machmir is modeh if you don't have any other pot. Let's say I only have one pot available. That's fleishiks. And it's eno ben yomo, I could, and I want macaroni with cheese, then it's okay. That's already like b'diavad. The only time we say you shouldn't cook the fleishik pot for noodles that you want to put cheese on it is if you have a milchik pot available. You have a parv pot available. What if you have a milchik pot available but it's not the right size or it's dirty? Can use a fleishik pot? Not so clear what we would say in that case. Maybe we would say, well, if I really, really want this fleishik pot, it's better for my needs, then maybe that's okay. Maybe not. Unclear. Unclear. Now there's another, yeah. Louder, sorry. No, well, the pot's fleishik. Definitely don't want to put the cheese into the pot. You can cook the noodles in the fleishik pot and then put them on your milchik plate and put cheese on it. Well, it doesn't really. Assuming that you shouldn't use a fleishik spoon that's ben yomo, then. But if you had a fleishik eino ben yomo spoon to serve it, or you poured it, then you could put cheese on it. So you shouldn't put a milchik spoon into a fleishik pot where everything is hot. Correct. This is a little complicated to do. It's easier to always just use parav pots for parav foods. That's true. But if you want to know what the halacha is, so this is the halacha. A lot of people will like take that attitude, and it's fine, and say, like, this whole, everything we've talked about today, it's so complicated, and I'm just going to use, when I want to have something parav, I'll use parav stuff. And not try to do all these fancy things. But anyway, it's good to know, because sometimes, certainly you've already made it in a fleishik pot, and you change your mind, and you have some leftovers. So it's good to know these halachos. Yeah, sorry.
If you pour the noodles, the steaming hot noodles from the fleishik pot onto your milchik plate, does that activate any milchik particles in your plate that you should be concerned about will get onto your fleishik pot?
So, when we talk about Zaya, we'll talk about that. Under normal circumstances, it's not a realistic concern. But we'll talk about why. Even then, because we're dealing with a large open area, and the chances, there is a source that would seem to indicate that your concern is correct. It's hard to understand. So, when we talk about Zaya, we'll address your question. But not for now. Yeah.
Would they include that? Let's say, like, I would take noodles from the cooking fish pot, or not noodles, like something that was roasted. I don't know what it was. Fish, I guess.
Fish,
and
okay.
And then put that into a milk plate and put cheese on it. But they would underneath that tree.
So that's a good question. Depends if there's rotev. Potentially, yes. But it depends on there's rotev. That's because of the principle of ein b'lo yotze b'lo rotev. So if there's no rotev, the blios in the fish couldn't get onto the plate. The fish would be treif, because the fish would have blios of basar and chalav in it. So you couldn't eat the fish. Whether the plate would become treif or not would depend on whether there's rotev. We'll get to those shilas maybe next week. That's a very complicated question, but it's not a not bar not shila. So I'll push it off till next week. Yes? So the answer is preferably you shouldn't, because preferably you, in other words, it's a fleshig pot, right? So you wouldn't want to use a parv spoon l'chatchila. If it was eno ben yomo and you did, then it would be okay. Okay. But that's also shy. We'll talk about that next week. Yes? Yes? Now, they're unintentional fleshig because you cook them in a fleshig pot. Yeah?
Right.
Was the pot ben yomo or eno ben yomo? Good. So you want to put cheese on it, so you can.
And I want to heat it with.
Yes. So you should treat, if you put cheese on them, you should definitely treat them as milchiks. Right? Yes. No problem. If you can put cheese on it, you can put it in a milchik pot. You can be sure of that. There's no such thing as something that you're allowed to put cheese on it, but you couldn't put it in a milchik pot. What's the previous situation? Okay. Okay, I put fish on a fleshig plate. Plate was ben yomo. And now I could put cheese on that fish. Yes. But also only l'chatchil. In other words, if I want to put cheese on that fish, I should not put it on a fleshig plate. But if I put it on a fleshig plate, and then I changed my mind and I decided I want cheese on it, that would be okay. Right. You couldn't put cheese on them if you're Ashkenazi. Then it would be mutter, because b'diavad we say we're makel b'diavad. Correct. There's another kula that the Rama has, which is that even if the pot is ben yomo, fleshiks, you could be makel for kalim. So what that would mean is the following. Let's say that I cooked noodles in a fleshig plate, bowl, pot, I mean, and I want to put them on a milchig plate. Sounds like that's okay, even l'chatchila. So that's actually a debate. I should tell you the pasha case first. The pasha case is that if you put it on a fleshig, you put fish on a fleshig plate, right? Even if it's ben yomo l'chatchila, now you could move the fish to a milchig plate. You shouldn't do it with the intention to put cheese on it, but you could move it to a milchig plate. What about if you cooked it in a fleshig pot? Can you put it l'chatchila on a milchig plate? But you're not going to put milchiks on it. You just, you know, you don't have parv serving utensils. You only have parv pots. You cooked it in a fleshig pot, you want to put it on a milchig plate. So the Prima Gadim is machmir there. Others disagree. So probably lechatchila, we're machmir. But if you did it already, it's certainly okay, right? So if I cooked something, noodles, in a fleishig ben yomo pot, and then I put them on a milchig bowl, I shouldn't put cheese on them, but I could eat them. We wouldn't say that they're usser, that's for sure. So let's say you're having a parv meal and you're eating on dairy dishes. It's okay to put your hot broccoli in a meat serving bowl if it was already, that you already ate. Again, let's take the case. You went ahead and you cooked broccoli in a parv pot, right? And then you first served it at a milchig meal. So you put it in a milchig serving bowl, right? And now you want to eat that broccoli again, but this time you want to eat it with a fleishig meal, assuming it stayed parv. So now you could definitely put that broccoli on a fleishig serving bowl or a fleishig plate, because since you only put it on a milchig plate, it would be okay. You never actually put milchigs on it, even if it was hot. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah. Ah. So, onions probably in that case would be okay because they're cooked onions. You mean you cooked the broccoli with onions in a parv pot. So onions that are cooked aren't charif anymore. We'll talk about that when we get to charif. Now, one exception to all this, which we're going to get to when we talk about davar charif, but I'll tell you now, is things don't go down a level if they're davar charif. So even though, let's say, for Sfardim, you're allowed to eat noodles cooked in a fleishig pot with cheese, in Ashkenazim, if the fleishig pot is eino ben yomo, that's assuming that it's noodles or potatoes or fish. But if they're onions, then this doesn't apply. Okay, and we'll talk about all the halachos of davar charif, bli neder, when we get to davar charif. So this is the end of Not Bar Not Part 1. I know it's very confusing. Not Bar Not Part 2 is a little less confusing. We're going to do that next week. And that relates to questions of dishwashing and dishwashers and separate sinks and mixed sinks and having one sink and do you need two sinks and racks and basins and all those questions, as well as once we're at it, we could talk about Starbucks and other fun questions of that sort. So that is, God willing, next week, Not Bar Not Part 2. A quick idea in the parsha. Oh. So Yaakov Avinu is running away from Esav. He's, needless to say, very scared. He's all alone. It's dark. He's running from someone trying to kill him. He's running to someone who is very dubious, to say the least. And it says, Vayifga b'makom. Vayifga b'makom, vayal en shan kiva shamesh, vayikach me'avne ha'makom, vayasa me'rash osav, etc., etc. So we know that this is a reference to tefillah. Chazal tell us that Yaakov Avinu was misake in tefillas arvis. He instituted the tefillah of Maariv, and this is the pasuk that shows it. Now, this is a very strange lashon for tefillah. Vayifka. What does vayifka usually mean? To touch, or even more, in a hostile fashion. Al tifgabi. Vayifgabo vayamisehu. Right? In modern Hebrew, you talk about a pigua. To strike, to confront in a hostile manner. Right? So why would vayifka be lashon tefillah? What's the meaning of tefillah? The lashon pigua, the lashon vayifka. So I heard the following very powerful answer from Rav Moshe Shapiro. He said that there are times that it is appropriate to confront Hashem and tefillah in almost a hostile fashion. Lamashal. After the Chet HaEgel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael. And Chazal tell us, Moshe said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Eini minichacha ad shetimcho lahem. I'm not going to let you go until you forgive them. Kaviyachol, he's taking HaKadosh Baruch Hu's arm and twisting it and saying, I'm not letting go until you forgive them. The famous story of Choni Amagal in the Gemara, where he makes a circle and he says, I'm not coming out of the circle until you bring rain. There are other examples. They're threatening HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When is this appropriate? When a person's whole existence is threatened and they recognize that they're entirely dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is not like a regular everyday mincha. Not tefillah for a parking space. But a person goes ahead and their whole existence feels threatened. Like Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu is running for his life. He's all alone. It's at night. It's dark. He's scared. And it's an existential fear. He doesn't know if he's going to make it. So then, this type of tefillah, of vayifga, is appropriate. And that's why dafka, this is the tefillah of night. Because night always symbolizes the situation of fear of being alone, of being vulnerable. And that's why, by the way, we pass in tefillas arvis is rishus. Tefillas arvis is technically speaking optional. Halach lemaisa, at least for men, it is practically obligatory for various reasons. One opinion is because it was accepted as a mandatory tefillah, but at least in its institution, it was rishus, it was optional. And you could ask, why is it? You know, why should the tefillah of Avram Shacharis be chova? The tefillah of Mincha, chova. Avram Yitzchak's tefillah are chova, and Maariv, Yaakov's tefillah is rishus. What's wrong with Yaakov? The answer is that by definition, this type of tefillah could not be a chova. This type of tefillah shalaila. You can never obligate. If a person feels like it's appropriate, they feel threatened, their very existence is in doubt, and they feel like confronting a Kaddish Baruch Hu in almost a hostile way. So, yes, indeed, that's appropriate. But you can never mandate that type of tefillah. And that's the tefillah vayifga b'makom. It's a tefillah mamish b'lashon vayifga. Very, very powerful idea. Okay, yasher koach.